Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together.
Well, here we are. And, whoa, we got buzzing in the background, and I must be in love. Hang on a second. I am. Oh, my goodness. Look at that. I apologize. I've got things buzzing here, and I don't want to buzz too much. So, good evening, and I'm sorry I missed you. Last week, I was ill and could not avoid not being here. And so I apologize to all 12 of you that missed me, but I'm here this week. And we got a lot of stuff to do, but I'm not sure where to start. So I guess the best place to start is maybe at the beginning. What do you say? No? And let me get this thing to stop beeping. I'm not up on the latest technology of beeping, but let's see if we can stop it. I mean, I could take a hammer, but stuff is so expensive. There it goes. Okay, now, let's put this someplace where it doesn't beep. Well, maybe it will anyway. All right, so we're just going to go forward, and I advise you just to ignore the beeping. It's kind of annoying, though. All right, so good evening and welcome to The Journey 8. And once again, my migraine headache says that the thunderstorms that the TV weathermen say are not coming are there. So as usual, if I happen to go off the air abruptly, just know that it wasn't because I fell off my seat. It was because that's the way this little system is designed. Bad weather equals no power. All right, so I'm going to start with a couple of announcements, and then we'll slide into a remake of a message I did a little while ago. And I'm bringing it up because this has been a really joyous but stressful week for some of us, and so I thought I would revisit the stress can make a mess out of you. But before we do that, I have the honor, and it's a deep honor, to officiate a wedding this weekend for two people that are very, very special to me. Two good people, soon to be one. You know, we started out as strangers and we still are. No, we aren't strangers. We're not strangers. We're family now. Friends, confidants, co-conspirators, and all kinds of mischief. And the strength and courage that they give me is very much appreciate it. This has been a stressful week, of course, because being married does that to you, you know. This is just the prerequisite, oh, Ellen and Pat, of the future of being married. That's not true, of course. You're going to be on cloud 9, or maybe 8 or 7, but you'll be getting there. What a wonderful transition to go from friends, lovers, and to be married. I would go anywhere to marry these two, even in Maryland. So I will see you soon. And in the meantime, sit back tonight and listen to a couple things. All right, so there we go. First announcement, don't forget the Bible trivia quizzes. Everybody's forgotten the Bible trivia question quizzes. They are going to move, so you can forget about them, because next week I'm going to tell you where you will find them. And maybe it'll be easier for you, and therefore more of you will play. Also, where they're moving to is my website as far as a link, a direct link. The website's going to be down for a week while we restructure it and I play with it. I haven't dabbled in the website for at least a month, and it drives me nuts when I can't change things. No, that's not right. Drives me nuts when things change. So we're going to let it change. We're going to restructure it so you can navigate it easier and find some of the things that people keep telling me they can't find. In that week's time, if you need me, of course, my email will still be up, RevJudy@CloserWalkWithYou. And the bat phone will be active also. And that's on my information page, I believe, at BBS. So, on to the dreaded question, will the Christmas album be on time? I've had two people ask me that, and I'm overwhelmed. Yes, it will be on time. And no, I'm still not convinced that I'm going to have CDs burned. But obviously, we will make them available through CD Baby and iTunes. And next week, I'll start giving you some more specific information. The due date for the album is the 30th, the first Sunday in Advent. Yes, we're moving up there. Okay. Greensboro Triad Churches. I have actually been getting people contacting me wanting to do an announcement or a plug for their upcoming event. The problem is they actually contact me like a day before the event. Can't happen that way. I am only on the air on Wednesday nights. They let me out of the crazy home for an hour so that I can do this show for you. That's not right. I only have this slot. Yes, that's it. I only have this slot, so you can't contact me an hour before. It doesn't work. I can't get to my email. Gotta give me a week. Give me 7 days and I can slap it in there. Okay. I think that's it. If you're in the Burlington, North Carolina area and you want to have some fun on October 28th, which is this coming Saturday, from 6 to 8 p.m., we are going to have a night of fun. We're going to do Scary-Oke. Now, that is the combination of course, karaoke and a costume. It is our little celebration for Halloween. And you can find us at Life's Journey United Church of Christ in Burlington. And I will post that address on my page, my BBS blog, since my webpage will be down. So, Scary-Oke from 6 to 8 is going to be potluck. You know, bring something if you can. If you can't, bring an appetite anyway. And we're going to do some crooning under the moonin'. You know what I mean? Okay. Last one? No, second to last one. As I've been bugging you, I have a friend by the name of Jen Phipps, wonderful musician and Christian who is going to Mozambique in January, provided she gets the clearance, I guess. I'm asking for donations to help offset her cost to get there. As the missionary company, whatever you want to call them, do not pay their way there. Only take care of them once they are there. So if you need more information, you can go to GoFundMe.com and type in the name Jen, J-E-N, Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S, and it will go to her page and talk about her story and why this has been a dream come true for her. I encourage you to do it. Last but not least, where's my prayer warriors? I'm still looking for prayer warriors. You know who you are. We are going to start in January. However, we're still praying right now, so you can throw me a prayer request in my email. And we are going to have a committed group of people who will pray all during the week to try and make a connection between God and you. And if you need something or have someone who needs prayers or a situation that needs prayers, please, serious ones, then you can get a hold of me at RevJudy@CloserWalkWithYou.com. Yay! I'm going to go nuts with that buzzing. What could that be? I don't know. Anyway, so here we are at the end of the announcements. Yay! And we're going to move into, if I can get it up on the screen here, the message. All right. So, because of the craziness of this week, and because I'm hoping ever so much that Pat and Ellen are listening, I thought the best message I could give to all of you is one that I gave back in September or August. And I think it's a good one. It's entitled, Stress Can Mess You Up. Yeah. Stress can mess you up. So we're going to move into that with my usual introduction. All of you regulars know what I'm about to say. And if you're not a regular, then you'll catch on to it real fast. Are you ready? Yeah, let's see if I can get this thing to move. There it is. All right. No. Bus drivers, crane operators, truck and or tractor drivers, aircraft pilots, train engineers, or anyone with a small bouncy dog in the front seat should divert their attention from their driving to find this passage. Wait until it is safe for you to read this. All others listening, pull out your Bibles, Kindles, Nooks, iPads, iPods, iPhones, Androids, and any other smart or dumb device. And follow along with me. The scripture, New Testament. Matthew, first book of the New Testament. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. A very cool scripture indeed. I love this scripture. And it goes like this. Come to me, all you that are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why, oh, why would I pick that for this week? Well, I'm going to speak from the first person me and say, I want everything to be perfect this weekend. I'm the obsessive person running around the house, doing dumb things like walking into walls. And so when I started thinking about this, I said, this is not working for me, God. This isn't working. And this message popped in my head. So let's see what Jesus had to say about stress. You know, we live in a very tense, uptight, and fast-paced world filled with the hurry and worry mentality. You know, I recently had a message on Be Still and Know That I Am God. Well, I followed that lesson with stress. You see, too many of us are living our lives feeling dragged through our days. And I mean dragged by all the stresses we create or that others have created that impact us. You know, we never stop to think about the future or the consequences until it's too late sometimes. Why are we so bent on bending ourselves? I keep asking myself that question. Why are we so bent on bending ourselves? Well, let's see if there's a better way. There's always a better way to live this life. And I'll start with this little story that I found. And for some reason, it just really, really rang true. All right, so I found this recently and thought I would really need to share this with you. It goes something like this. Back in the 1960s, experts' testimony was given to the Senate, the Subcommittee on Time Management. Can you believe we have a subcommittee on time management? You know, I just love when experts are called into Congress to, like, soothe their woes. I wonder how much they get paid for that. Anyway, this panel of experts predicted, that's the first thing that went wrong, predicted that advances in technology would radically change how many hours a week people worked. They forecasted in the 60s the average American would be working 22 hours a week within 20 years. So 1960s, 1980s, we should have been working 22 years. I think maybe the timestamp was wrong. The great challenge, the experts said, would be figuring out what to do with all the excess time created in the future. Okay, so it's not been 20 years, it's been 40 years later. After major advances in technologies, look at all these things we have, iPhones, iPads, and, you know, these little devices to make life really cool. Over 40 years later, major technology, how many of us are wondering what to do with all our excess time? Yeah, that's what I thought. Even retirement isn't as restful as we once thought it would be. Trust me, I know. It's not retirement. There is no retiring in retirement, just as there is no gold in the golden years. That's a lie. No. Anyway, our world has become the world of the Red Queen of Alice in Wonderland. You know. Now here, you see, it takes all the running you can do to keep in the same place. If you want to get somewhere else, you must run at least twice as fast. And it's so true in today's world. And I wondered to myself, don't any of us feel like this? Apparently, we're all experiencing the rat race. I just love that term, the rat race. Just when you thought you were getting ahead, along comes a faster rat. But remember, he who wins the rat race is still a rat. Yeah. Well, that's something heavy for you to take to bed tonight, okay? I want you to think about that. He who wins the rat race, that's really hard to say, is still a rat. Yeah. We need to experience how to rest. And many of us, including myself, need to learn this process because even in retirement, which I am not anymore, I think, we need a step-by-step guide of how we can rest. And I'm not just talking about physical, you know, because if you're physically tired, you take a nap. We need emotional rest. We need to take a vacation. You know, we need to learn to check out. Oops, excuse me, I just went to Tahiti for a minute. I'll be back. But where can we find spiritual rest? You know, we can figure out emotional rest when we really try. We can figure out physical rest because we collapse. It's usually a big indicator. Where can we find spiritual rest? And how can we obtain relief regarding the deepest issues of life, at the deepest issues of our heart? And I'm glad you asked me that, because I have the answer right here on my computer screen. Jesus spoke to this very issue 2,000 years ago in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Passage has three commands in it from Jesus that lead us to spiritual rest. What are they, you ask? Well, I will tell you. I just take this scripture and cut it into three pieces of pie, and you've got it. The first command, come to me. Jesus regularly invited people to come to him for their needs. Come to me. Now, notice what Jesus did not say. He did not say, come to church to find rest. Now, Jesus had nothing against church, and neither do I, so don't, you know, go crazy out there. But what he's saying is Christianity begins with meeting Christ personally. You know, it's kind of like going to McDonald's does not make you a hamburger. And going into a garage does not make you a car. Gathering information about Jesus does not make you a Christian. Joining a group does not make you a Christian. Okay, let's go on with that list. Having Christian parents does not make you a Christian. Going to church does not make you a Christian. Well, there goes all the lines flashing. Okay, I'm not saying that church is not necessary. On the contrary, church is where you will grow in your Christian belief. And the community of prayer and fellowship in the church is good for your soul, but that is not where you become a Christian. You and I become a Christian at the moment in time when you answer his invitation to turn from your old ways and come to him. He's been waiting for you. So, you know, you say, but my life is really a mess. I don't think I'm ready to come to Jesus. I mean, he's going to turn me away. Look at me. No, don't look at me. I'm a mess. Jesus said, come to me. Come as you are. That means even the really messed up. Oh, I got a ticket. I can go in now. Spiritual rest to be given. Come to me and I will give you rest. Rest for those who labor to the point of exhaustion. Self-effort, he is not speaking to the working class laborer, but to sincere, conscientious people who are trying to balance the scales of good deeds versus bad deeds to be accepted by God. Now, I'm not saying the working class laborer is not sincere. I'm saying what I believe this passage is focused on is people who are obsessed with obsession. I can't go to God until my bad deeds are overchecked and erased by all my good deeds. Then I'll be accepted. Problem with that? You never know how your account is being balanced. How do you know when you've reached that point? Falls short. Our human effort falls very short of the standard God requires. Indeed, it does. But somehow, that's the only standard we comprehend in this life until we learn that the cross is the place of exchange where I am placed on him and what he is given to me. My bad debts are removed and placed on him. The rest of his perfect deeds are credited to my account. Voila, ka-ching. It's simple. It's so simple. He has the American Express gold, platinum, silver, diamond engraved card. You know, the one that only the top 1% of anyone have. Why? Because he puts that card in to your little machine that says Judy Hosner, and you're free to go. Gates are open. Wow. Rest for those who are heavy laden. You know, overburdened. Burden, burden, burden. These stagger under heavy weights. You know, the fact remains that living for yourself, for possessions, prominence, pleasure, is a burden. Because we reach one level and it's just like cocaine. You have to have more, more and more. I gotta have a bigger car. Oh my gosh, my neighbor just got a bigger swimming pool. Oh, I don't care, I'll second mortgage the house. And I'll buy a bigger gazebo. See what I mean? Rest. Do you think that those of us who are in that quagmire understand how to back off and rest? Oh, we're too busy creating burdens for ourselves. And of course, the adversary sits back and laughs while he's toasting little hot dogs and marshmallows down in that fiery pit, saying, they don't have a clue. I don't have to work at this at all. Jeez, give me another hot dog. In Jesus Christ, the full penalty's already been paid. So, you know, the slate is wiped clean. Wiped clean. He bore the guilt and paid the penalty. There's nothing left to pay. So come, chill out. Yes. Chill and be chilled. That should be in the Bible somewhere. I think that's really a prophetic statement, or pathetic, one or the other. Chill and be chilled. I'm going to look for that. It's got to be there. The sense of relief of burden is real for all who come to Christ. The Bible calls it peace with God. May the peace of Christ be with you. Yes, that's where that comes from. The second command in this passage was, take my yoke. Now, the week that I taught this message the first time, I got a passel of email saying, the yoke's on you, haha. What are you talking about yokes for? This is a serious conversation. Oh, they lightened my day for sure. Yoke, a type of harness that connects a pair of oxen. A pair of connected oxen was typically called a yoke of oxen. Used metaphor, and this is why God was, Jesus, used metaphorically, it refers to submission to a teacher. To take the yoke of was used by rabbis to refer to becoming a pupil of a certain teacher. Wow, I can hand out yokes during Sunday school. Ooh, not. And actually the term, if you want to count things like Peter used to do, Peter was the one that knew that there were 153 fish in the boat that night when Jesus told them to go out and cast their nets one more time. None of the other people wanted to know. They just knew that the boats were sinking and there were a lot of fish. A lot. And that's a number. A lot. But Peter sat there and counted every one of those flipping, slimy little flounders, whatever. So, you know, for those of you who need to know, it's used 6 times in the New Testament. Take my yoke. Okay? So you'll find the yoke in the book of Acts. I think there's several in Mark and so on and so forth. This is not my yoke that Jesus speaks of. It is his yoke, the yoke of relationship. Jesus wants you to fit into this little collar and be comfortable. And wow, look at, you don't have to pull all that weight yourself. No, it's cut in half. Take his yoke. And what's his ultimate thing? Find rest. All these things connect to be with me. Yokes are made for two, not one. Unless you're cracking open a chicken's egg, then there's only one yolk. No. See, you guys have me doing it now. All you emailing little guys and gals, look at what you're doing to me. I'm trying to be serious here, and I am serious. This is a serious passage, one of my favorites. So what's his direction? Follow me. You know, when Jesus came down the beach to meet his first disciples, Peter and Andrew and so on, you know, so on, he was over in the other boat. He gave them one sentence. Now, he didn't know, I mean, he knew them, obviously, because he's Jesus. They had no clue of what this man was. And what sentence did he use? Follow me. 2 words. And they drop what they're doing and they follow him. Now that's the kind of power in the words of Christ. You know, follow me. It was amazing. Peter, of course, you know, okay, I'll follow you. But was there 154 or 153 fish? I just need to know. Yeah. So follow me. I told a story the first time that I gave this message about a man. You know, there's always farmer stories. Even in the Bible, when you're trying to teach the Bible, somehow farmer stories just crop up. They're a good subject, I guess. Anyway, one day a man went by to see a farmer who was plowing his field with a team of oxen. And the man noticed that one of the animals was seemingly a little bit larger than the other. Yeah. He was a big old guy. And so he asked him about it. And the response from the farmer was interesting. He said that the big animal was an older animal and well-trained and knew that area of the farm inside out. He didn't even need a command. He said that the younger animal, of course, was the smaller animal, and he was new to the yoke. So the man went on to inquire as to, you know, why he put them together. And the answer he got was, well, you see, it's like this. The older ox is the best ox I've ever had. The best ox I've ever had. He knows his way around this field with his eyes closed. Like I said, he knew what he's doing. He didn't even need any commands. Put that yoke on, he's gone. The reason why you put the younger one with the older one, very, very logical. Teach him how to plow. If I never put them together, the younger one would never learn. And by himself, the younger ox would pull himself to death. Ah, now it's starting to sound familiar. Yeah, so, you know, put the younger one with the older one. That way when the older one dies off, what? The younger one can take over. He knows what he's doing. Okay, so all we have to do is walk away from man's yoke, take on Christ's yoke, and he's going to show us how to walk without being stressed. Are you listening, Pat and Ellen? Without being stressed. Learn from me, his last command. Third command, learn from him. All of us are ignorant, just on different subjects. When we come, take up his yoke, the process of learning begins. Yeah. You know, sometimes I wonder, as most preachers do, or teachers, if I even get through. It seems like sometimes I'm moving my lips, but there's silence on the faces of those out there. Well, I can't see your faces because this is radio, but I'm assuming. And when I do public speaking, which I am getting better at, righteous people can be cold and harsh. And I've learned this. But not so Jesus. Okay? You know, we learn gentleness and strength from him. And when you have that kind of strength, you don't need to be, quote, righteous and harsh and throwing your Bible at people. You don't need to judge. You don't need to waste the energy. Why? Because it's not going to get you anywhere. What you believe is wonderful if it's correct. You know, it's great to have a Bible. I have a whole shelf of them. They're my best friends. Well, okay, they're my best books. But what I draw from them is gentleness and strength. Not cold and harsh and judgmental. That's the kind of stuff that stresses you out big time. When you're so worried about the sins of everyone else and carrying that burden of trying to figure it out, you've forgotten how to deal with your own sins. Now, the best way, I think, to deal with my own sins is to turn on the music and sing. Lifts me up, gives me that extra boost. Wouldn't it be great to have someone you could pour out your deepest thoughts to? I mean, deep thoughts. A gentle soul who has strength to help. Well, we have somebody. We just need to tap into that. Humility and selflessness. When you learn that from your relationship with Christ, then you've made it to the final line. You're running that marathon and you've passed the third marker. And you say, woo. Because again, people that are righteous can be arrogant and rude towards us. How many of you have experienced walking into a church and feeling like you've just entered the freezer at the meat market down the street? Yeah. It's cold in here. You know what I do when I feel that? I turn around and walk out, get back in the sunlight, thaw out, and go to some place where somebody notices that there's a new face in the back pew. Somebody says hello and welcome. Yeah. I'll tell you what, if you're in the Greensboro area and you want to be welcomed and loved a little bit, come on over to Life's Journey. United Church of Grace, we'll love on you. I tell you what, if you ever feel like you've walked in there and it's cold, like a refrigerator. I want to personally know about it. I'm not the pastor there. I'm just a member. But tell me, and I'll direct it right to the pastor and the deacons and whoever else I can, because that is not our goal. And it's not Jesus's goal to make us adversaries of each other, to make us goody two-shoes. We're at the bottom of the pecking order, not the top, because we can touch people at the bottom. Can't touch anybody at the top. Ain't gonna happen. Yeah. So the very things that turn people off from mainstream churches are the very opposite of what Jesus is trying to tell us. Hurting lost people and weary people are drawn to Jesus all through the New Testament. That's all you see, people needing to be healed, people who are weary, people who have infirmities, hurting emotionally, spiritually, whatever. Weary people are drawn to him because he cared about them. He cared enough to meet their needs or to stop and just touch them and pray with them, teach them. Amazing. Why we can't do this is beyond me. The rest he gives is the rest that we all should be experiencing. Now, I'm not talking about rest like 6 feet under rest. That's, you know, going to happen no matter what. But I'm talking about rest, spiritual rest, to where we're not running around like the Mad Hatter, trying to make bigger swimming pools, living in Bel Air instead of Belmont. Yes, I came from California. No, I'm in North Carolina drinking sweet tea. Too much sweet tea, actually. So that's that, rest. If you look, okay, I'll take a step back. If you feel like the ox who's pulling himself to death, then guess what? You're doing it wrong. If you wake up in the morning and before your feet hit the floor, you've made an agenda of 150 things that have to happen before 8 o'clock, you're doing it wrong. If you say, I live a great life, I don't have to answer to anybody, you're wrong. You do have to answer. If you are righteous, haughty, demanding, judgmental, and pushy, you're doing it wrong. You're not bringing people to Christ. You're turning them away. Stress can mess you up. And it gets you nowhere. The charge of Jesus to the disciples before he left was to gather and feed his sheep. Feed my sheep. You can't feed them if you're scaring them away. You can't feed them if you give them the sense of second-class slaves, third-class, fourth-class, fifth-class. And you definitely can't feed them if what you have is sour wheat. Ask yourself today, come to me, take my yoke upon me, learn from me. How hard can that be? Give it a try. You might surprise yourself. Next week, oh, and amen to that? Yes. Next week, we're going to pick kind of the same thought process, a different Bible passage. And we're going to stay in this 9 o'clock slot because I'm a night owl. And it fits. So the 12 of you, We've been listening. I want to see 13 or 14 next week. Okay, I'll be greedy and say 15. And I promise not to have any buzzing in my sound room. We'll have to figure that one out. So, before I go, I just want to say that we will have the revised website at www.closerwalkwithyou. We're going to restructure that so you can find the things I talk about easily from the get-go. You don't have to go through a mess of stuff. And that I would be glad to help any of you or answer a question if you send it to me. I'm going to start using the blog on the BBS website where my page is, because I just realized it was there. I mean, I knew it was there before and I forgot. And that will happen when you get old. So now I'm going to blog. Thank you so much for listening tonight. And God bless you and keep you until next week. Thank you for listening to The Journey 8, and please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hasen.